What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Pushing the Lines, where we are going over cooler talk. It's going to be a mixed bag of things, but we are going to start out with introducing Mike B's bets. He then took up my t-shirt game and pulled it out.
I did. I had to show it today. Harlem Knights.
Harlem Knights. Shoot the pinky toe off. And me, Magic's bets. Let's start out with a little bit of baseball, man. How long you been a fan of baseball?
Man, it's, the story of me liking baseball is so insane. I'm a Cardinals fan. Ozzie Smith used to do a backflip.
Understandable.
When he came out to do the shortstop. I don't know why that enamored me. I've been a diehard Cardinals fan since Ozzie Smith. We didn't do too hot this year. We lost Pujols. We lost Molina. We lost a lot. We lost a bunch of legends. So we rebuild.
I'm surprised Pujols even tried to play as long as he did, but he's a great player. He'll be a Hall of Famer.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
As far as baseball for me, man, I really don't have a team right now. And it's because I took such a long break away from watching baseball. When I was growing up, you had a few teams that you could watch in Tennessee. Mm-hmm. You had the Cubs, which my buddy Jeremy Chapman, he was a fan of, so I followed them. And then my buddy Mitch Williamson, I used to go to his yard just about every other day, and we used to play wiffle ball. And his favorite team was the Atlanta Braves. He was a big Del Murphy fan, big Braves fan. So I kind of followed them at the same time. Then as far as TV games, you either got those two, you had the White Sox or you had the Reds, and I wasn't into either one of those teams. So I kind of followed the Braves and the Cubs for a long time.
Yeah.
I currently don't have a team. You could say that I'm looking for a team.
Come on to St. Louis, man.
I'm not coming to St. Louis. I'm not really a fan of St. Louis. I'll tell you though, three teams that I was watching this year. I was watching the Pirates because they got Paul Skeens. Pretty good team. Yeah. Not a huge fan, but I was watching them. The Orioles, who just got knocked out by Kansas City Royals. They just got knocked out. They got a good young nucleus. They need to work on their pitching, but if they get some good pitching, they'll be fine. And then the Brewers. And the reason I started watching the Brewers is because of the Nashville Sounds. I went to the Nashville Sounds game this year, had a great time, and I was like, you know what? Let me start paying attention to what they do, because if I start watching games and going to games here, then I'll kind of have an idea of what their minor league system is looking like. And honestly, they would be my surprise team to make it to the World Series right now. You obviously don't think so.
No, they're in our division. I can't root for the Brewers, man. Not the Brew Crew.
I mean, they've got a lot to go through.
I have a soft place in my heart for the Phillies. And I think it's just because I'm an Eagles fan. I do like Bryce Harper. I like Kyle Schwarber. They stick up their ring finger whenever they hit home runs. I like the little rivalry, the little stare downs Bryce Harper and Arcia from the Braves got. I dig that. Baseball is fun. I'm going to tell y'all, if you don't like baseball, playoff baseball is a different breed of baseball. The fans go absolutely nuts in playoff baseball.
And I'm glad you said that playoff baseball is absolutely nuts, because what got me back into baseball was betting. I mean, every week I'm looking for a new bet. So I got into baseball betting last year a little bit, dibbled and dabbled here. But this year I kind of went hardcore. I'm up on the year in betting on baseball, but I started paying more attention to it, more attention to the analytics. Mm-hmm. And it's really been fun. But if you're going to bet baseball, three quarters of the season, cool. Once football starts, stop betting on baseball until the playoff starts, because it's so unpredictable between those last few weeks of baseball until the playoffs, and you will lose money.
Yeah, baseball kicks my ass. I don't even I don't even fool with it.
Man, I'm gonna have to get you right this coming season. Well, next season, because I made a little bit of money. But speaking of baseball, we lost a legend this week.
We did.
Charlie Hustle. Pete Rose. Mr. I'm not in the Hall of Fame, but I probably deserve so.
Absolutely. And
I'm not gonna lie. I always thought he should be in the Hall of Fame because of what he did on the field, but
yeah, me too.
After he died, my thoughts are kind of mixed now because of some stuff that came out about him and his past in underage women. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of distancing myself from him.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't wish death on anybody. He was a legend on the field, but now he's got more of a checkered past than me, so I'm moving on from that.
Yeah, like you said, man, the man is gone. I didn't even know about the underage women thing. I didn't know about that.
I didn't know it. Well, with this situation with Diddy going on right now, of course they want to. Okay, I'm gonna say it this way. With everybody judging Diddy and Diddy being black, of course, the black community is going to say, well, Pete Rose did it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course.
First of all, things that were accepted in the past, as time goes on, are no longer accepted. So you have to move on from your old habits and things you used to do and things you grew up seeing because it's no longer accepted.
Absolutely.
It's no longer part of a society. So move on. It was cool for Elvis at the time, but it's no longer cool.
Yeah, nobody talks about that.
Yeah.
I have mixed thoughts about it, but strictly just going off his game, I feel like he should have been to the Hall of in the Hall of Fame. I got a big problem with baseball, and we're not going to get too far off subject. It's a bunch of people, players that we grew up, especially in the early 2000s, McGuire, Bond, Sosa. I feel like they should be in the Hall of Fame. I understand you had your steroid era, but that era saved your sport.
It did. McGuire, Conseco, Bonds.
Regardless of whether you want to admit that. Now, you did have you had your Tony Gwynns, you had your King Griffey Juniors, you had Frank Thomas, and you had greats.
Yeah, pure hitters.
Yeah, but a lot of older. Mike Schmidt, if I'm not mistaken, came out and said he took performance-enhancing drugs. And he's in the Hall of Fame. You didn't mind taking him out. I feel like they saved your sport. I feel like they should be in the Hall of Fame. But, you know, that's baseball purist, and I'm a casual fan of baseball, so we can kind of move on from that. But I did want to say that.
One point real quick. For people who don't know, Pete Rose is not in the Hall of Fame because he bet on baseball. He bet on his team. He never bet against his team, and he never intentionally threw a game to win a bet. I mean, let the man in, because you get this whole situation with Shohei Ohtani, Ohtani and his interpreter, and a whole situation with betting, but they're sliding all that under the rug and they're throwing it on his interpreter. Ain't heard nothing else about it. Except,
and that just didn't seem right to me. But
the guy that was doing the wire transfers, he just pled guilty. So, I mean, it's still there, but it's not big in the news as much as Pete Rose was in the news. Every time his name came up, oh, he bet on baseball. Oh, he bet on baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Let it go. Either let him in or say he's never getting in. But that's here nor there. Teams in the playoffs.
What you think?
I love playoff baseball.
I do too, man. The crowd, and I don't know if you know this, but the pitchers, they look like if they fuck up, they're going to be beheaded. It'd be so intense when they show them close ups on them on the mound. And then you got the hitters, they locked in, and you got the crowd going crazy. It's just like a completely different sport. It's like the intensity just maximizes.
this first round of the playoffs, the wild card series, if you were betting the over, you probably lost money because the pitching matchups were A1.
Yes.
Both of the Royals versus the Orioles games, they were low scoring. I mean, I honestly expected them to be 6-7 runs each, but nope. They were low.
I'm hoping these next series, I hope it's a little bit more scoring. I don't mind a good pitch and playoff battle though. I don't, because it don't do nothing but make it more intense. And it always sets up that Derek Jeter moment where somebody gonna make a big hit, or somebody's going to have to do something that's memorable for somebody to score. So I'm good with that. The game that just went off, we was watching it before we did the show, the Pods and the Braves. The Braves are gone. The Braves are
out. I got a cousin that lives in San Diego, Rod Miller, if you're watching this. Love you, cuz. I know you're out there happy, but, you know, I'm not cheering for you, Padres. I can't do it, cuz. I can't.
Nope.
Nah,
can't do
I know he out there happy. There's only one team, well, one series that's still alive from the wild card series, and that is, who was that? The Brewers. Brewers and Mets. Yeah. Hopefully the Brewers pulls this off so I don't look like a dumbass for saying that they'll be the surprise team that might make it to the World Series. But we got one more game of that. They came out on top tonight. And honestly, it's going to depend on their pitching. They've got a few good young bats, but their pitching all year has been inconsistent. Freddy Peralta, every time I bet on him, as far as going over or under, he always did the opposite. He's up and down on his pitching, man. And they don't really have a great pitching staff.
Yeah.
But their bats are gonna have to get them through. If they have consistent pitching this next game, then they'll be on to the next round.
My next round, I wanna see, of course I told you I wanna see the Dodgers. I mean the Phillies. I also want to see the Dodgers. Now I hate the Yankees. But Aaron Judge hits a shit ton of home runs in the regular season, and in the postseason he struggles.
So got Juan Soto also, who's a big home run hitter,
and Giancarlo Stanton. Is that how you say his name? Is he injured?
Yep. No, he's still there. He just ain't doing nothing. He getting a lot of money for a little bit of nothing.
If he ain't doing nothing, I just always figure he injured.
He's there. That pitching staff is up and down too, man. You don't get a whole lot of consistency from them.
That's what's been killing the Yankees. You know, if y'all watch First Take or anything Stephen A. Smith is on, he always goes insane because the Yankees, the early Yankees in the 2000s, Mariano Rivera and Andy Pettit and Clemens, they had pitching. That's why they won.
They were not afraid to spend money either.
Yes. Steinbrenner, since he gone, they ain't spending no money. But these next series, I want to see how Ohtani and Betts and Freeman and Muncy, the Dodgers are loaded, man. The Dodgers are loaded.
So there is a surprise team that I did not expect to go to the next round. And that was because they were playing a tough team that was pretty much good all around.
Yeah.
And they only had what you might consider one ace on their staff. And that ace is Tarik Skubal, the Detroit Tigers. Past his pitching, you don't have much on that that pitching staff. Their bats, you don't have an all-star bat.
Riley Green leads them in damn near every offensive category. It's crazy. It is absolutely crazy. So I found this crazy stat. So Josh Hader for the Astros makes $19 million this season.
Mm-hmm.
And I seen this stat today. He makes more than the entire 26-man roster on the Tigers this season. That's insane.
And it's funny because when you look at the roster of the Detroit Tigers, they don't have anybody they don't have anybody that is great.
Mm-mm.
They don't have anybody that you would call all-star or whatever. I mean, Riley Green, yeah, he's an all-star, but you don't have that superstar.
Yeah.
Nobody on their team had over 75 RBIs this year, including Riley Green. He had 74.
Yep.
But if you go,
put them together.
Yeah. You go through that roster, they had more than, I can't remember the number, but it's like more than 11 or 12 that had a lot of hits, several RBIs, and contributed to the team. So you pretty much have a big utility team with very little pitching other than the ace. Casey Mize did all right, but he had a bunch of losses. They had a couple of people on the staff, but you have a utility team with very little pitching that is in the playoffs and can actually make moves if you're not careful.
A team like that, everybody plays their role. They're hard to beat. Those are the teams that you want to avoid because they just hard. Everybody does their role. They make hits. They steal bases, RBIs. They'll bunt. They'll sacrifice themselves to get the player to third base so he can score the run. You know, they don't – I don't know none of their pitchers. I know they don't have an ace.
Hold on. Tarik Skubal, he's an ace.
He the one, because he's the one that had the six strikeouts in the first victory, if I ain't mistaken.
Yes. And honestly, if you're not familiar with playoff baseball, usually during the regular season, they usually have 5 days off, four or 5 days off between pitching outings. That's going to shorten in the playoffs.
Yeah.
If they're needed, it's going to be 3 days, 4 days, and they're going to be pitching again. So he might carry them through. You never know.
And who they got next round?
Next round they got I had it up a second ago.
Is it the Guardians?
Next round. No, they got the Yankees.
They got the Yankees.
No, okay. They don't have the Yankees. I'm stupid. They got the Guardians, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Guardians got some good bats. They got okay pitching.
So whoever win that series, that's gonna be interesting.
And then that'll be between the Yankees and the Orioles. I mean, Yankees and the Royals.
Yeah.
The Royals, I like their pitching. They've got pretty decent pitching. So if they can make it past this next round, which they're playing the Yankees, they might make some noise. So Bobby Witt Jr., shortstop. He is a power hitter. Or shortstop.
I like him.
Yeah. Then, of course, we touched on the Brewers. If they get past this next round, they'll play the Phillies. You got are they playing the Phillies?
Yeah, the Brewers. Whoever wins tomorrow between the Brewers and the Mets play the Phillies.
Yep, I'm hoping it's the Brewers. And then you had the Padres Braves tonight. Padres took them out. Padres are going to play the Dodgers. That's going to be a West Coast series. So. Depending how the fans travel, it might be a packed house. But San Diego is not too far from Los Angeles.
Yeah. Now, one thing about playoff baseball I don't like, the games come on too damn early. You may get a game to come on at like 3 or 4 o'clock. That's one thing I don't like.
And usually you catch the Dodgers, the Padres late at night about 9 or 10 o'clock here, and you're good. But yeah, they start to come on early so they can get the ratings.
I'm gonna tell y'all before we switch subjects, because we about to go on. The game comes on tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Just watch the first inning and just see how intense that game is gonna be and see how loud that crowd is going to be. And I promise you, if you any kind of sports fan, I know Thursday night football is on. We're probably going to talk about that in a minute. But it's the Bucks and the Falcons. You can miss 10 minutes of that game. Just watch the first inning of that Brewers-Mets game.
October for baseball is the same as March Madness for college basketball.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. It is crazy. It's crazy.
And speaking of basketball, NBA season is up. Bonus. Lost a legend.
We did.
We lost Dikembe Mutombo.
We did.
Man, That is crazy. He passed away of brain cancer this week. So that's three sports legends. And then, of course, if you look at celebrities and stuff, we lost several celebrities this week. Hell, I lost several friends this week or people I grew up with. And I'm just like, man, death is among us. But, it is. I mean,
that's speaking crazy. Of that, we haven't done an episode in a minute. You want to give your thoughts and prayers out to the people that got hit by that storm, the hurricane, yes, and the flooding and everything in North Carolina, Tennessee, Florida, South Carolina. It was devastating.
It was, and there's a couple more missing. Coming on.
Yeah, and there's a few people still missing. It's good to see you got people that's willing to do anything to help these people out, but that was devastating. Like, we live in Tennessee. I'm not on that end of West Tennessee, but it did. Just being in Nashville and the surrounding areas, it flooded here, but nothing like that. So thoughts and prayers out to them.
Yep. A lot of we're in Middle Tennessee, which we are probably 2 hours away from where the devastation hit. Mm-hmm. And you saw a lot of people in the Middle Tennessee communities pull together and start taking truckloads of supplies over to East Tennessee to help out. And not just Tennessee, but there's people all over the East Coast that are going in to help people who are affected, which is really appreciated. And yep, it shows where your heart is.
I wish America was, I just wish that America was like that all the time. That's all.
I agree. So with the NBA season coming up on us, the offseason, there were a few offseason moves, but I didn't really see a whole lot of offseason moves that just caught my eye, except for to me, the Michael Bridges to the New York Knicks was probably the biggest offseason move until this past week.
No, man.
You got three, but the biggest to me was Michael Bridges going to the New York Knicks, who was on the cusp of going to the NBA Finals. All they were missing was a couple of people, and they got Michael Bridges, who was a star for the New Jersey Nets. Mikhail Bridges. And not New Jersey Nets, because that's what I've always called them. That's what they've always been since.
Hey, man, they know who the hell we talking about.
Brooklyn.
Yeah,
is there Brooklyn, you go. In the house. But anyway, that was the biggest move to me, because you had the Villanova stars getting back together. You had Jalen Brunson, you had Dante DiVincenzo, and you had Mikhail Bridges all together from Villanova back on the Knicks. But guess what? DiVincenzo is gone. He was part of that trade that just went to the Timberwolves, Minnesota Timberwolves, with Julius Randle for Cat, Karl Anthony Towns.
I like the Mikhail Bridges trade, but I don't think it was better than none of the three I got. At least two of them.
Well, the Mikhail Bridges was cool until
it Cat got traded. And honestly, I wish they would have kept DiVincenzo. I wish they would have somehow, I don't know how they would have done it, because I really wanted to see that Villanova four. And Stephen A, he's been clamoring to get Cat to New York. So now you got it. Am I a big Cat fan? I like him. I think he's kind of soft. I think he shoots the three too much.
I agree.
But in the Eastern Conference, I think this move can at least get them maybe to the conference final. I don't want to shoot too far, because if I did, then I would have to renege on what I'm going to say about Paul George going to the Sixers, because only two teams can go.
While I'm thinking about it, with Cat, do you know the moment that we probably should have known that he was going to be out?
Out? What do you mean out?
On to another team. I just thought of it.
Mm-mm. What's the moment?
When he scored them 70-something points, his coach was calling him selfish.
That was the same night MB scored 70.
Yes.
I remember that night.
Yeah.
And nobody, and it was so crazy because everybody was talking about Embiid that night and nobody was talking about him. And if I'm mistaken, the next night, I think Luka had 65.
Yeah. But that night, his coach called him, pretty much called him selfish because they lost the game. Yeah, you scored 70-something points, but yes, you lost the game and you weren't playing as a team. So to me, that was the moment that he was on his way out the door.
Yeah, and I think Cat can be good. He's had a lot of injuries. He calls himself the best shooting big man ever. It's hard to debate that, but sometimes you want him to kind of bang a little bit. You want him to have – he can take like 4 or 5 threes.
Hold on, he a better shooter than Nikola Jokic?
He calls himself the best shooting big man ever, three-point shooting big man.
And you know what? I'm the best podcast co-host ever.
Hey, I'm not the most handsome guy that ever lived, I guess.
I believe that wholeheartedly. I am. Oh, don't play with me. Yeah. But yeah, man, go on hit on your offseason moves or what you think was the best.
The three I had was Paul George going to the Sixers. If Paul George and Embiid can stay healthy, they got Maxey. That's a big three. That is a for real big three.
That is. Paul George is he's a good defensive player. He doesn't get as much credit as he should get for being what you might call a 3-and-D player. But pairing him with the big man and a point guard, I mean, you know, it's better than the situation in the Clippers.
Definitely. I think that he went to the Clippers and didn't know that he was going to have to carry that team. But, you know, Kawhi, his knees and his quads and calves and whatever else he got in his leg. It just,
and his laugh?
Yeah. The East, man, I think is going to come down between the Sixers, the Celtics. I'm going to put the Knicks up there. For some reason, we always write off the Bucks. They didn't look that good last year. Middleton is having some injury issues. And if people remember basketball, when the Bucks won their championship, Chris Middleton was a big part of it. They need him. They need him. My other two, it was DeMar DeRozan going to the Kings, and Klay Thompson going to the Mavericks. Now, Klay, he struggled in Golden State, and I honestly think Golden State was right by moving on from him. He's forever cemented in Golden State lore. Like, he'll get his jersey retired and everything. I think this helps the Mavericks because they have a – if he can go back to Klay and just be a consistent shooter, you got two guards, Luka and Kyrie, that can penetrate. Luka's a walking triple-double. Luka is a passer. I know people know Luka. He can get his 30 or 40, but he'll have 10 or 12 assists with it.
But when they double and triple team him, if he kicks it out,
yes,
he's going to hit either Kyrie or he's going to hit Klay Thompson. If they try to double team one of them, then the other's going to kick it. It opens up things for them. And I think Klay moves to the small forward this year more than the two guard because he's lost a couple of steps with his leg injuries.
Yeah, he lost a couple steps. Now, people got to remember, before Klay lost these steps, he was one of the best two-way players in the game.
Yep.
I always got to remember that. The DeMar DeRozan to the Kings, that's interesting to me because, De'Aaron Fox, he going to do his thing. DeMontis Sabonis, he going to do his thing. He's pretty much like Luka. He's a walking triple-double just without scoring all the points.
Chris Murray doesn't have to do as much right now.
Yeah. So when it comes late in them games, you know what DeRozan do. He been doing this since he came into the game. He got that Kobe Bryant, that he in the paint. He's shooting that jump shot. That 15 to 20 footer. That's what he's doing. He getting,
and what's crazy is they didn't have to give up a whole lot for him.
Nope. And I think with DeRozan on the team, they already do a little running. That's how Mike Brown coaching, but I think DeMar DeRozan gonna like that scheme.
Yeah.
And speaking of, he wake up and he already got 20 points. So that's nothing for him.
You got a point. Speaking of offseason moves, who do you think is on the move? I mean, I got one that I think might still be on the move. He was actually moved, and we kind of hit on it a little bit earlier, but I think Julius Randle is not set in stone to be in Minnesota all year. I mean, they're trying to build a roster around Anthony Edwards.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you just traded for Julius Randle. With his contract and him being a borderline superstar, you can move him for a couple of other pieces that would be depth and would probably make your team a little bit better than it would be with Randle.
Anthony Edwards is a superstar, man.
He is.
Who do I think is on the move? That's a good ass question. I don't know. I know one damn thing while I'm sitting here thinking about it. You know the NBA season is coming up soon when you start seeing them bullshit Ben Simmons videos with him hitting three-pointers.
Yeah, this Adam is his Silver year. He's back.
Adam Silver, you got to do something about this, man.
If somebody take him, he'll be on the move. If somebody takes Brandon Ingram, he might be on the move. Yeah.
That may be the one. I don't think that Pelicans Zion looks incredible. We'll see if he can keep the weight off. He said this is a revenge season for him, so we'll see.
Well, they just picked up DeJounte Murray. He can run the point or the two, but I think he's more of a natural defensive point guard, which will allow CJ McCollum to move back to the two because he's been running point guard.
Yeah. Now, it was reports earlier last season and a little bit in the offseason about Trae Young being moved. I haven't heard nothing else about it. I guess since they got rid of DeJounte Murray, that Trae Young, he's a Hawk now. So,
yeah, since that trade, I haven't heard anything either. So I think that's kind of off the table.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're probably butting heads. And while we're talking about moves, one move that would be beneficial for somebody is you just got Chris Paul with the Spurs.
Yeah.
He is an old school type point guard. He will fit Popovich's system, and he's only going to make those young cats down there better.
Yeah,
he's gonna feed Wimby the ball and get him some looks. So I think that was beneficial for them.
I want to see the Spurs. I want to see what they win loss record is. I think the Spurs, if they just compete for a playoff spot, Wimby gonna be an MVP candidate.
Yeah, he should have been defensive player of the year candidate last year, but
he should have been. They keep giving it. That's a player that I can't just get with. That damn Rudy Gobert, I can't do it.
speaking of, I mean, we're talking basketball. Who the hell is your team?
The Lakers.
Oh. Ooh, brother, what is that?
The Lakers.
I can't get behind the Lakers. I can't get behind the Lakers.
My two favorite players are Kobe and Magic.
Okay, that's understandable. They've got a good, rich history, but over the past however many years since Kobe's been gone, I can't get behind them. I just can't.
It's a lot of LeBron Lakers fans, which is cool. They're going to follow him everywhere he go. Yeah. The teams that I have, my professional sports teams, it's just people that they just caught me when I was little. Magic, I love that. Don't get me wrong. MJ, I love him. That's my GOAT. Argue with your mama. I don't care. Magic Johnson is my all-time favorite player.
I mean, those Showtime Lakers, they were exciting to watch.
They was. I was so into basketball once I discovered what YouTube was. I went all the way back. I love old school sports, man, because it's just like they play harder. And I'm not taking away. I'm not one of these people that's going to say they not playing now. It was just more pure form of sports back then.
I mean, as time goes on, you get a lot of rule changes. And, you know, we were talking about Pete Rose earlier. I mean, back in his era, you used to be able to smoke in the dugout.
In the NFL, Ken Stabler used to.
Yeah.
They drank beer and smoked cigarettes. That's what they did. They wore stick'em. Like, that's, it was cool then.
Who was it? Red Auerbach? He used to smoke cigars on the sidelines.
Sure did.
So, you know, things change over time. Rules change and the game change. So, I mean, some things that used to be acceptable are no longer acceptable, and you have to move on from it.
Yeah.
Speaking of moving on, get up out this NBA stuff. Season's coming up. We'll get to it when it gets here. But we still got the NFL.
It should be the injury football league this season.
Man, when you look at your fantasy teams, man, there's a whole lot of red Qs on your lineup right now. We had to talk to our fantasy league commissioner and ask him to add another injury reserve spot just because everybody's getting hurt.
Yeah, I had to, man. I don't know what the hell going on this season. I really don't. It's just not been a good fantasy football season.
Mm-mm.
You gotta play the waiver wire. The players that you thought was gonna do something, you know, they having their moments, but it just haven't been that. And I'm in eight leagues, and believe me, I'm treading water, but it takes a lot of thought.
I bet you didn't go 8-0 again this week.
No, I went 1-7.
Oh, Lord. See? See, all the talking from when you went 8-0, it was coming.
I knew when I went 8-0. I think I said it on the podcast. I was going to go 0-8, and I almost did. If it wasn't for Amon-Ra St. Brown, I would have went 0-8. So it's I don't know. I don't know. But I will say, I hit some more NFL bets this weekend than I have been. I'm kind of just getting used to the consistency now of what it's going to be.
Well, the early games are always hard to read. Like the first 2 or 3 weeks, you're kind of going on what everybody did last year and what you think they're projected to do. But as we get deeper into the season, you'll have more analytics to look at. You have more trends to look at, and you'll be able to gauge it a little bit more. Mm-hmm. I'm loving it though, because it gives a challenge. But the Titans finally won.
Yeah, as soon as they let go of y'all franchise quarterback, they won.
Hey man, look, stop. We could have won with him.
No,
honestly, the first two games we probably could have won with him. If he wasn't turning the ball over, he tried to do too much and he cannot do it.
And he was going to do it that game. He threw it to the biggest. He threw it at that. He went to the sideline after he threw that interception and said he didn't see that big ass man standing right there.
Hey,
if
you
I was
gotta
the coach, I'd have waved his ass right then and there.
Hey, they have a bye week this week. That bye week is going to do them so much good because the coach said that if he's healthy, he is starting.
Yeah,
so
my team is in turmoil too. So I understand about the turnover.
Well, y'all spend a lot. Well, we spend a lot of money, but y'all spend a lot of money because y'all in win now mode and y'all just ain't getting it done.
Nick Sirianni may not make it through the season.
I don't think he will either.
I'm gonna say that. And I'm gonna say this. Jalen Hurts is probably one of the most humble. You can tell. He's a very classy person. He speaks.
He was raised right.
He was raised right. He don't fool with Nick Sirianni. And I'm gonna say this too. You can tell that whatever friendship him and AJ Brown had at first is not the same. And that's not saying they can't go out there and win together because they can put up the numbers. But one thing you gotta understand, when you have an elite quarterback, they can get it done. Jalen Hurts needs all his weapons to get it done. It's not saying he can't go out there and put up numbers, but he needs AJ Brown and Devontae Smith. He needs them.
While we're on the subject of your Philadelphia Eagles,
yeah, man, that's ridiculous.
We have hit on it before in a previous episode. Their success the past couple of years, I believe, was predicated on their offensive coordinators. because you had Steichen go to
Shane Steichen and Jonathan Gannon, and
you had them go to their respective teams.
Mm-hmm.
Then you had the new coordinators come in last year. They didn't get the job done,
mm-mm,
got fired and moved on, and we're still having problems with the new coordinators. I think it boils down to the head coach not being able to control the team or control his coordinators and get them in check.
I think he's just making some stupid-ass decisions, too. I understand being aggressive. You doing the Dan Campbell thing, which is cool, but you also have to understand your personnel. You have to understand this is – Jalen Hurts has had a different offensive coordinator, if I ain't mistaken, every year he's been in the NFL. You also have to understand that the actual leader of the offense is no longer there in Jason Kelce no more.
Yeah.
You have to understand that, and you have to apply that when you're making these game plans. You don't have – I'm a look. You don't have your two best wide receivers. Saquon Barkley should have ran that ball 25 times against Tampa Bay. From what I seen, let me see to make sure I'm not crazy. Saquon Barkley ran the ball 10 times.
I mean, you crazy, but that's beside the fact.
What you mean?
I mean, you crazy. It ain't got nothing to do with what your thoughts are on football. You just crazy.
Why am I crazy? Why am I crazy?
I don't know. I just had to throw shots.
And to be honest, you know, people, like I always say, when you tell the truth about your team, people don't like it. They feel as though you're supposed to always be biased. I'm not.
Nope.
I understand we got all this talent, but it ain't nothing but a bunch of names if you can't go out there and execute how you're supposed to.
You have to be realistic. Had
10 carries. Give him, if you know your best wide receiver was out, he should have had 20. He shouldn't have had no less than 20.
Minimum 15.
Minimum 15, and then throw him the ball five times.
Yep.
So I don't understand. And they did this last year. I kept telling people when we was 10-0, them first two or three games, DeAndre Swift was leading the league in rushing, and they just stopped giving him the ball. It don't make no sense to me. Like, you can run, you have a great offensive line. Use them. It's not like that you can't run the ball. If you run the ball, all the other stuff will work. Your play actions will work. Your RPOs will work. If Saquon can get loose, then you can. Jalen Hurts can pull the ball, and then he can go around the sideline. I don't know, man. I don't know what we're doing. I don't know what Nick doing. I'm not going to blame Kellen Moore because the offensive scheme that he has, when we did have A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, it looked like it was working. So we'll see what happened after the bye week. But if they come out this bye week, man, and they still ain't looking too hot.
Stay tuned.
Yeah, stay tuned.
Speaking of good offensive lines, you know who else has a good offensive line?
Detroit. Who?
I mean, yeah, Detroit, and I like what Detroit has got going on and what Dan Campbell's got going on.
Yeah.
But the Baltimore Ravens.
Oh, my God. Oh, my goodness.
Not only do they have a pretty good offensive line, they are one of the few offenses in the NFL this year that are utilizing the fullback at a high usage rate.
Record.
And when you have a good fullback out there blocking for a guy like Derrick Henry and Justice Hill, you open up a whole lot of things. It's old school football again, baby.
And I love it. I'm just old school, man. I'm just an old soul. The way he ran against Buffalo, first play, 87-yard touchdown.
The man
looks like he's jogging and everybody's running full speed and they cannot catch this big ass man.
And then you got the 1-2 punch with him and Justice Hill. I mean, hell, when Justice Hill is in, you don't know whether he's gonna run the ball or catch it out of the backfield. So that opens up your offense even more.
Justice Hill playing like Breece Hall should be playing.
Yep.
That's a little fantasy. Never mind. Go ahead.
Hey, it'll get you every time. Let's see. Speaking of the Bills are going to be in what I consider the game of the week this week. The Bills versus Texans. You got 2-3-1 teams going against each other. Mm-hmm. You got a good quarterback matchup. You got Stephon Diggs playing his old team.
Yes.
The Bills, they're getting the ball around. They're getting the job done. Mm-hmm. But they don't have a superstar playmaker other than Josh Allen.
Nope. James Cook he's a good running back.
He is. He's barely over 200 yards for the season, though.
But when they trail, he goes missing.
Well, when they trail, you have to pass more, so he's no longer running.
He's a good pass. He's probably the second or third best pass catcher. If once again, I go back to my team, but that's neither here nor there. I think Keon Coleman is a good receiver. I think they just not utilizing him because he's a rookie. He's made some pretty good big catches for him so far this season.
He's a rookie. He's young. He's still got to learn. He's got to learn where to be.
Also, they got two good tight ends. Use them.
Yeah, use them. You got Knox and Kincaid. Use them.
Use them. Before we get too far, go ahead.
Go back to the Ravens. Run it.
That this damn Mark Andrews shit they got going on is about to send me to the hospital. They got two good tight ends. Use them. Now, Mark Andrews was wide open on Sunday, and Lamar threw him the ball right on the numbers, and he dropped it. And they never went back to him. If I ain't mistaken, that was his only target. But for y'all that know who Mark Andrews is and the player he's like a poor man's Travis Kelce. Now, Travis Kelce kind of struggling this year. He picked it up last game, but Mark Andrews has been very, very efficient, very good for the Ravens.
Well, he hadn't been the same since his injury last year.
Yeah, and he had that car wreck too.
If you pay attention to the first game, possibly second game, they used him on a lot of blocking. It was like he was another tackle.
Mm-hmm.
They're using Isaiah Likely as the pass catching tight end, sometimes in the slot. But you got to get both of them involved because your receiver is Zay Flowers, and then what's the other one?
Rashad Bateman.
They're good receivers, but they are not superstar receivers. But you got two tight ends that could be a superstar depending on what team they're on.
Yeah.
You got to use them.
This is a segue that you probably didn't. We didn't even. When we get to talking, man, it's just like we're on the phone. I think Devontae Adams would fit real well with the Ravens.
You know what? Speaking of Devontae Adams, you said Devontae Adams. We didn't even have him on. I know Steven talked about on the show.
I know. That's why I brought it up.
But he is on the trade block.
He has to be traded. I think that he would fit well with Baltimore.
I heard just Dallas think is out.
Dallas just lost Brandon Cooks. Did you see that? He had some kind of surgery on his knee or something. And he had a knee, an infection he had to have surgery on. He's out for at least 2 weeks.
He hadn't been the same player for the past 2 or 3 years. His career is almost done.
Yeah.
It's time for them to start looking for a good young receiver to get in there. I mean, hell, if they had anything they could trade, then, yeah, I'd say go after Devontae Adams. But they don't really have much capital they can trade unless you want to let Michael Parsons go to the Raiders.
No, I hope Michael Parsons come to Philadelphia.
I mean, stop that. Y'all already paying a whole bunch of money for a bunch of players that ain't doing shit right now.
You know what? You know what's crazy? We really not paying a bunch of money. We still got a whole bunch of money to spend.
You crazy.
Look it up. We paid A.J. Brown. Mm-hmm. We paid Jalen Hurts.
And just paid Devontae.
We extended A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, and Jalen Hurts. We still got money to spend. All those other names that came in, Devin White and Bryce Huff, and they probably finna get rid of him. He wiped all the Eagles stuff off his Instagram.
Hassan Adams. Is it Adams?
Hassan Reddick.
Because you guys had him and traded him, y'all can't trade back for him.
No,
there's an NFL rule that prevents you guys from getting him right away. He's gonna have to go to another team before y'all can even get him.
And I honestly think how it ended, I don't even know if he would want to come back.
I don't know. He sure as hell don't want to be in New York Jets.
He don't want to be with the Jets at all. And the crazy part is the Jets need him right now.
Yeah. So other than the Ravens, who do you think might be a good spot for Devontae? Other than the Jets, because the Jets is the obvious answer. So you'd be back with his quarterback, and then you have the Green Bay East.
Washington, the way that Jaden Daniels is playing, if you could put somebody on the other side of Terry McLaurin, Washington may mess around and win this division, man. Pittsburgh would be a good spot. Justin Fields is playing. I know he had a fumble on Sunday, but Justin Fields playing like he don't want Russell Wilson to get that job.
Oh, okay. So, speaking of Russell Wilson, speaking of Devontae Adams, what do you think the possibility of Russell going to
the Raiders for Devontae Adams?
Yep. I mean, of course, they're going to have to throw some more collateral in because Russell ain't enough, but...
Yeah. So, I was saying the Raiders won't a second round pick plus other whatever comes with it. I did see that.
So a second plus Russ will get rid of that contract for you, get you a star wide receiver to go alongside George Pickens. I'd pull the trigger.
I would pull the trigger. The Ravens, the Steelers, I mean Dallas, but I don't know if they got the money to do it.
Rumor has it Dallas is out.
Yeah, I did see that. I seen Stephen Jones said they're not making any kind of move during this season, so they out. Who else? Buffalo.
I don't know what Buffalo would trade. Buffalo would probably have to get rid of one. Now, I would say Buffalo would have to get rid of one of the tight ends, but the Raiders just got Brock Bauer, so their tight end is set.
Give them multiple draft picks.
It'd be interesting to keep up with for the next few weeks.
Did you see what Tyreek Hill posted today?
Yeah, woke up to trade news. Exciting, something along that lines. But I guarantee you, he's trolling. Mm-hmm. He was. I don't think he was even talking about himself. I think he was talking about the stuff with Devontae Adams.
Yeah.
That's my personal opinion. I don't know it to be true, but he has reiterated that he wants to be with the Dolphins. I don't think he's going anywhere.
I don't either. Now, he did look frustrated Monday night, which is to be – we know how dynamic Tyreek Hill is. It's they just in a bad spot right now.
Well, his antics on the sideline got everybody talking about it's time to trade it because he's not happy. But he wasn't happy because he wasn't getting the ball. He's got third/fourth string quarterback throwing to him or trying to throw to him. Been in the offense for less than a week. I mean, what do you expect? He wasn't going to get the ball that much.
Yeah, and you could tell if you've seen the interview he did right before kickoff Monday night, he was trying to say all the right things, talking about Tyreek Hill. He was literally searching for all the right things to say. I don't even think he believed what he was saying. He's just trying his best to keep the waters calm because I know he's upset, man. He's a big-time player.
He is.
And, you know, if you play fantasy football, he's a top three, if not number one pick in fantasy. And, you know, that don't mean nothing to him. But, you know, when you're a star, you're a superstar like that, you always want the ball. You want to put up numbers. You want to earn that chicken. They're just in a situation now, man. It's just not happening. They just don't have the QB to do it.
So part of our notes was to talk about either betting play or somebody that you would start in fantasy football this week. And I'm going to look it up while we're sitting here talking. Mm-hmm. I've been waiting for a line to open. So I can see where it's at. And earlier today when I checked, it was not there. But Jordan Whittington from the Los Angeles Rams, if you look at him and they give him a line around 40 yards,
yeah,
I'm jumping on it because you still got Cooper Kupp out. You still got Puka Nacua out. They're going against the Green Bay Packers, and the Green Bay Packers have given up at least 40 yards to the number two receiver in each of their games this year. And the only team that they did not give up 40-plus yards to the number one wide receiver was to the Indianapolis Colts. And that's on the quarterback right there.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say.
What about you while I'm looking this up?
I took, I had already mentioned that Mark Andrews against the Bengals. Like, if not now, when Cincinnati's defense is, they good for the taking right now. Like, you at least need three or four catches for, I'm going to say you need at least three or four catches for 35 to 40 yards this week if you're Andrews. And I also took Brandon Ayuk versus the Cardinals. You done got paid, big dog. Like, Juwan Jennings is having a better season than you. Actually, Juwan Jennings, one great game, has been better than all four of yours. So, it's time, man. Show them why you got a check. You playing the Cardinals. The Cardinals secondary ain't that great. Debo is back. Juwan Jennings is back. You got to earn your paycheck, big dog. This is what you wanted. You got it. So you go out there and perform.
And I just checked. Jordan Whittington's receiving line has not opened up, but if he's anywhere around 38 to 40 yards, jump on the over.
Yeah.
I'm projecting him to get about 60. So we'll see.
I'm going to surprise some people. If I had to bet, I'm going to take Mark Andrews to get at least three catches against the Bengals. If not this week, man. Mark Andrews in your fantasy, he's pretty much droppable.
Yeah, I had him down for four catches this past week, and he missed on my parlay because I had Dalton Kincaid on the parlay, and Dalton did his part, but Mark Andrews did not do his part.
Yeah.
We went over what my play, game of the week was. What about you?
Mine is the London game, the early morning game, the Jets and the Vikings. The Vikings, man, they smoking hot right now, undefeated. Brian Flores and Kevin O'Connell, man, they got them playing. They got them playing. And if you didn't know, the Vikings have the oldest secondary in the NFL, if I ain't mistaken. But that defense, Brian Flores, hey, they on the ball. This is going to be interesting because you got two good defenses going against each other. You know Aaron Rodgers, Green Bay Packer. You know that NFC North rivalry. You know how that's going to go. I want to see if him and Garrett Wilson, they off a little bit. You can tell Garrett Wilson is frustrated. It's like they just not – they don't have that camaraderie yet. It's coming, but it's not there yet. So I want to see how that goes. Breece Hall had his worst game this season, his worst game since he came back from that ACL. I want to see if he can come back against this Vikings defense. I want to see if Sauce Gardner and that secondary can stop Justin Jefferson, and Jordan Addison has been coming along.
Hold up. See, your problem right there, you said stop Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison. It stopped Sam Darnold.
I mean, you got to get to him. But see, that's the problem. Because they don't have Hassan Reddick, they haven't been able to get to the quarterback like they used to.
Yep.
So if you can't get to the quarterback, you got to cover Jordan Addison and Justin Jefferson a little longer. Justin Jefferson, the best wide receiver in the game. And for some crazy-ass reason, his ass is always wide open.
He is. He gets open. He makes the right moves.
Yes, got Aaron Jones running like he still the young Aaron Jones. This dude don't age. And, all of the PUP people like Nick Chubb and TJ Hockenson, they came off the list today, and they're able to practice. Now Hockenson is not going to play in this game. But just saying, further from now, they're only going to get better.
Did you see that one catch that Jefferson had where where DB was all on him and pretty much had him in an arm bar and he caught it with one hand?
I did see that.
Whew, Lord. And don't get me wrong, I thought that was a hell of a play by the wide receiver, but the more I looked at it, that was a hell of a throw by Sam Darnold.
Sam Darnold right now is probably the front as man. I can't believe I'm finna say this.
Comeback player of the year. Go ahead, say it. Say it.
MVP.
I ain't go that far. I'm gonna go with Jaden Daniels MVP, but
I
Sam
mean,
Darnold's looking
he's
real
a
good.
rookie. He's a rookie, and I think he's gonna run away with offensive rookie. He's not gonna run away with it. You know, him and Malik Nabers had that bit. They both having a hell of a season. What Jaden Daniels doing, man, is absolutely crazy. But you know, I don't think they would give the MVP to a rookie. Now, I think they gave the last time they gave the MVP to a rookie, if I ain't mistaken, it was Jim Brown, right? Or was it Gale Sayers?
Look, man, I was
You
still
know?
wetting diapers. I don't know.
But yeah, it would be hard to do because Sam Darnold, man, is having he having an incredible season. Lead the league in touchdown passes. He having a year, man. If he keep doing this, I mean, right now he's got to be top one or two MVP candidate.
I am happy for him, and it's a prime example of if you put the quarterback in the right situation, they'll do everything that they're supposed to do. Because he's one of those guys that people had pretty much given up on. The Jets traded him. He ended up going to San Francisco, sitting behind quarterback out there, and now he's with Minnesota, getting his opportunity and getting put in the right situations to make plays, and he's making them.
Yeah, he was at the Panthers too for a minute. And as crazy as that sounded, those first three or four games, he was leading the league in rushing touchdowns. And they didn't have any offensive talent. I actually went and seen them play live the year the Eagles. I think that was the year the Eagles went to the Super Bowl. And he was doing everything to keep them in the game. But eventually, you know, talent took over. Better team won. But this Vikings team is a team to watch. I don't think nobody came in this season thinking they was going to be them and the Chiefs would be the last two undefeated teams. And Sam Darnold was going to look better than Patrick Mahomes. If you'd have told somebody that, they probably would have looked at you like you didn't know a damn thing about football.
I would have told you that, and I know a little bit about football, but yeah, I
You
definitely
would have
would have
seen
told you
Sam Darnold having a better season than Patrick Mahomes.
that. No. I would have said you were crazy.
Oh, okay. I'm
You
like,
mis
what?
you misunderstood me.
Okay. Like what?
No, I would have said you were crazy for saying that.
And all seriousness, though, I know we bet we had this podcast where we talk about sports. Parity makes sports great. I know you're losing your bets and you're struggling with your fantasy football team, but you get sucked into these games and all the stars are hurt. These up and come the story, this Jaden Daniels thing, man, to just touch on it. I don't think y'all understand what y'all watching with this kid right now. This is incredible. Like, he's literally turned that franchise around. I hope he does not have the RG3 career where he gets injured because, you know, he don't like to slide. But he is so poised, and he just smart with the football, man. It's crazy. They're going to be hard to beat.
And he was talking about the other day, his offensive coordinator, whenever he tries to implement something, if Jaden Daniels does not like it, he can look at his coach and say, I don't feel comfortable with that. And they might pivot to something else. But he does have that option and the relationship with his coach to discuss it. It's not you're gonna do what I say, do or else. He has that option to discuss it.
I love that, man. I love it. I know they're in the division with the Eagles, but I love it. I love it for him. I love it for Terry McLaurin.
Terry needs to get the ball a little more, though.
He's starting to get him the ball a little more. I think they'll incorporate ever since that Cincinnati game, because his last game he had a few catches. I know we're running over with time, but there's one more thing I wanted to ask you if you've seen. the Patriots head coach Gerard Mayo was talking about taking out Ramondre Stevenson and putting in Antonio Gibson as the starting running back because Ramondre fumbling too much. I got Ramondre on one of my fantasy teams, but I just figured I would want your input on it.
Okay. So my input on that is,
oh my God.
Let me go back a little bit. When I heard Gerard Mayo was coaching waiting to take over for Belichick, I thought that was a good move. I thought, hey, they're grooming him. They're going to get him right. He's a bright young mind. Definitely a good defensive mind. But when they pulled the trigger early, I wondered to myself, was this the right time or was it the wrong time? It's starting to look like it's the wrong time.
Yeah, I didn't have much expectation from New England anyway. You know, it ain't nothing racial, man. We just root for black coaches. You want them to come in. You want them to do well because it's hard for them to get head coaching jobs. But we'll see. We'll see how this goes. That's all. We'll see. Now, it may come back to be a good thing.
Well, with him right now, there are a bunch of young head coaching mistakes that he's making because he hasn't been in that position. And I don't think he was fully groomed to be a head coach yet. I think he needed another year or two. But if he's not careful, he's going to dig himself a hole because he already is depleted of talent because of everything that was done during their Super Bowl run with contracts. Mm-hmm. So it's going to take him a while to rebuild. But if you lose confidence of your players, that makes the rebuild even harder.
Yeah. And the question has to lend itself. If you're going to bench Ramondre Stevenson for the fumbles, but you're about to put in a guy that pretty much got traded away from Washington for fumbling. We'll see.
Personally, I can say if I was the offensive coordinator, I would be going to my head coach saying, look, man, leave Stevenson in. We need to use Gibson a little more on third down, and we need to move him out to the slot a little bit.
Yeah. Ramondre Stevenson, he can catch the ball.
Yeah.
You got to utilize your talent, man. You have to utilize your talent to the best of their ability.
And I'm sorry, when I say move to the slot, I'm talking about Antonio Gibson. Antonio Gibson needs to be playing in the slot a little bit. Because he was a wide receiver in college.
He's a great pass catcher.
Yeah.
Yep. So we'll see, man. We'll see. I had to get that in before we closed out the show to get your opinion on it.
Man, look, it's late. I'm tired. You probably tired. But we do need to come back with another episode. Let's try for like Friday night, get something out Saturday morning.
We can do it.
That way, we'll probably come back and cover some college football games. That way, if you catch it early Saturday morning, then you'll have something to look forward to as far as college football. Because there's some good games that are going to be coming on for college football this week. We don't have time to cover it tonight, but we would love to cover it for you.
Yeah.
Find us on our social medias. If you have any questions you want us to cover, ask us. We'll be glad to talk about it. We're here to talk sports. If you want to talk soccer, we talk soccer.
We're going to talk about whatever you want to talk about.
As long as it involves sports.
Yep.
Except cricket. I don't know nothing about cricket. I'm sorry.
No, I don't know nothing about no damn cricket.
All right. Until next time, folks, we love you and we out.
Yes, sir.